World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, wise man once said that these are the times to try men's souls. A lot of crazy stuff going on, you know. I'm not even going to give a whole lot of attention to the no kings thing. Isn't it amazing? I was out there crying for no kings. Have been having a king for how long? How long, man? They want the government to be king. They own the government. They want the government to be king. And it's all good. So, look, you gotta realize this, folks. A little bit of panic on the devil side. I don't want to call him the left because that's a false paradigm, left, right, all that. That's all false. Devil's team, a lot of panic. And a lot of panic because they're afraid that what the Bible says is true and that the whole creation's groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And more as I look around, we're getting to begin to get a little bit of a Christian pushback. I'm going to get into some of that here today. But the reality of it is, folks, this is as long as we continue to look at this as a political battle, we're not going to make any progress. Not going to. Why? Because evil walks on Psalm 11:3, maybe it could be wrong, Spencer. Evil walks on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. And all we have to do is look at our culture and look at the people who are exalted in our culture, especially the women. I don't know what you I said this to Michelle the other day. You just go on Spencer's Find It, folks. Look at this. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. Look at the guy they're having for the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know anything about him, but he's clearly a vile man. He's being exalted. And I see a trend on Facebook that's really kind of disheartening to me. You guys ever get on Facebook and see how many women, young women in particular, are getting on there and doing vile sexual innuendo? What the hell's going on? Where do we lose our young women modesty? Where? Well, I know why. Because the wicked walk on every side. When you exalt people like the Kardashians and J-Lo and go on and on and on in the culture, which is Satan-owned, Hollywood is Satan-owned. Madison Avenue, it's Satan-owned. And look at what they're programming our children with. It's unbelievable. Real quickly, right off out of the chute, I got to show this because I found it this morning. Pastor Alan Jackson, number 10. This is what's going on. We're not going to get focused on this, but this is what's going on, folks. In the church, again, you know what Coach Dave's argument's always the same. It's the church. The whole creation groans, waiting for the church to show up. Waiting for the church to show up. The only one that can push back against evil is not the Republicans, not the Democrats, not Donald Trump. The only one that can conquer evil is good. Christ is the answer. And for most part, we hide it inside the four walls of the church. We don't even, okay, so I saw last minute, Pastor Alan Jackson, the slippery slope of transgenders. I know David Arthur's been out there barking about this on and on and on and on and on, that they're after our kids. We still don't get it. Our churches still don't get it. Libraries are still feeding this crap to us. They're still doing it in our public schools. And Pastor Alan Jackson, of course, explained to us how the church gets neutered. This church, it's real short, but it's good. Go ahead.
To acceptance to celebration. We go from tolerance to acceptance to celebration to participation
really fast. We just want the right to dress up as the opposite sex in public.
I went to Whittier High School. While I was there in 2009, there was like one transvestite. And remember the argument? We just want to feel like our authentic self, dress up in dresses if we're dudes, and that's it. Just tolerate it. Well, gotcha. Actually, we want the right to enter the bathroom of the opposite sex. Can you just accept us? Well, actually, we want the right to dress up sexually in front of your children and read books to them. And we also want the entire month of June set aside to glorify our delusions, and we want to pressure corporations into donating to our funds, and if that professional athlete refuses to celebrate us, we'll make him pay a steep price. So, just celebrate us. Well, actually, we want to mandate our gender theory curriculum in public schools without parental knowledge. We want to redefine children's rights to give schools the authority to disciple children into transgender delusion and hide it from the parents. We want to mandate that you use our pronouns or face legal action. We want to trans your children to get chemical and surgical intervention without parental knowledge. And if you disagree with us as a parent, we'll take your kid. Can you just participate?
Ray, how about that, Ray? David Arthur, how about that? Can't you guys just participate in Gay Pride Month? Why do you want to take our month away from us? And the infiltration of evil is beyond what we can understand, because they're coming for our children, and the church still doesn't get it. Still doesn't get it. It is. I'm sorry to start off with that here on a Monday. I got a lot of good stuff here today. Always do. Trust the Holy Spirit. You got it. Jeff wants to get in there. Go ahead, Jeff. Because, Jeff, I got right up here. Honor Charlie Kirk, Glorify Christ Gathering. Put up there for number one from the Liberty Action Network. I'm going to let Jeff talk about this a little bit. I salute Jeff Klein because he's relentless, folks. He is relentless. Jeff Klein's relentless. And I'm going to let him talk about this a second. And then I can't be there, Jeff. I think I told you I'll be out of town this weekend. And but go ahead, Jeff. What you got going on?
Coach, this is good. I get to share this, but here's what I thought when you played that video. What do the Christians always say? When Trump become president, they said, well, he's not acting like a president. So the Christians, the churchgoers, somebody like that pastor, well, he's not acting like a preacher. You know what I mean? It's always the same crap.
Yep.
Yeah. On the public square this weekend after all the idiots were up there, hundreds and hundreds of morons, we're doing the Celebrate Charlie.
Hang on, Jeff. Yeah. Jeff, those are products of the public schools. Those morons that you saw.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Public schools and Kenyon
exactly,
College.
Folks, hang on. It's just exactly what Pastor Jackson just talked about. The infiltration of, the evil is aggressive. Christianity has become passive. Go ahead, Jeff.
They said, one of the reports said they had, I didn't go up. I thought, I am not going up there on that public square. But they said they had 900 people on that square and a lot of Kenyan students. I mean, just crazy. So we'll be on the square this Sunday, potentially do it on Sunday afternoon. So people have no excuse. They get out of church. They can come to the square at 2:00 in the afternoon. And we got some different speakers, Pastor Matt. And we've got old Dr. John Diamond said he'll be there. J.R. Harrison. So we're going to share with the people, share the gospel, further the kingdom, and hopefully we're supposed to have that baptismal pool set up. That's going to be a little chilly this Sunday because it's only going to be like 58 degrees or something.
That'll be okay.
So we're going to do it. We'll be up there. It'll be good.
All right, Jeff. Again, I salute Jeff. Hey, Jeff was going to school board meetings when nobody was going, and Jeff became a pariah. It's all the truth. Became a pariah in his local church when they locked up Pastor Bill. Jeff became a pariah in his local church. Yes, Jeff? Yes, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. Couldn't even get the Christians to vote for me for county commissioner. Yep, probably lost a lot of customers selling cars, too, but it's like, who cares?
Amen. Amen. Good news is Jeff's out of the car business. Right, Jeff? You out of the car business?
Oh, yeah, and I watched that video you showed me. I listened. I've been saying that for the last 2 or 3 years. That's exactly what I've been saying is going on, and it's happening.
One of the biggest scams ever, folks, is the used car business, and we all know that anyway. But anyway, so God bless you, Jeff. Now you got more time to go and do and fight. And so here's what I really want to do this morning, okay? I want you to, folks, now's the time to up our ante. I'm going to ask something that I've never done. We've got an initiative plan. You say, what do you mean we? Well, I'm not going to tell you. We have an initiative plan going on, not this weekend, but the next weekend. And I think it's going to cost a group of us. I'm not going to say more than that. And we're going to do an initiative. It's going to require probably, I'm guessing, in the neighborhood of $1,000 in expenses. Some of the people here in the queue are going to be part of it. And if somebody out there could throw $50, if I could get 20 of you just throw $50 in, that would fund this initiative that we're about to do. It's going to involve some traveling expenses, some hotels, and some meals. $1,000, and we can really, really, well, we'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it when we're done. We don't want to give the enemy any idea what it is that we're going to do. So you can just go, if you can, just go to Coach Dave Live and throw $50 in there, $20, whatever you want to. $1,000 would really be good for us. Okay, cool. Okay, now look, folks. We got to. I don't want to make public. This is really, really a big deal, and we have to understand right now. The old football coach in it, the momentum. You ever guys ever watch a football game or a basketball game? In the middle of a basketball game, some team scores like 10 points in a row, and what's the coach do? Calls timeout, try to stop their momentum. You understand our momentum is trying to be stopped right now? You understand that the advancement of the gospel is going forward probably in a way that's never happened in my lifetime? And you can see they're trying to stop the momentum. They came out there with their No Kings thing, trying to stop the momentum. So what's been going on in America, at least in most of my lifetime, is an unopposed devil advance. Betty, give me a hand, thumbs up. An unopposed advancement of the kingdom of darkness. Unopposed. And so the enemy sees that we're now playing ball. we're in the game a little bit, and we're advancing the ball. And we're scoring touchdowns, and we're making plays. And that's why we have to be really, really diligent, vigilant in what it is that we're going to do. This is not a time to stop blitzing. It's a time to blitz more. So, you with me? And so I just want to encourage some of you. And I'm gonna let Craig come in here a second. Pull up number two, if you can. Well, is that one? Yeah, number two. Craig, the refiner's fire. But Craig had more than that. More than that going on. That's not it. Is that what I sense? If I did, that's the wrong thing. Okay, there you go. I'm sorry. I Google search. Folks, I'm trying to encourage you, okay? The refiner's fire has spread to over 129 churches. Look, it's more than that because I haven't put my churches in there. The churches that we've done, I don't mean my churches, the churches we've done, they're not even in there. We're on the offense. And Craig sent me an email this morning, and I think we have it in there, Spencer. I think I sent it to you. Let me see. Yeah, Battle of Yorktown, American Revolution. Craig, I'm just going to shut up a minute. And Spencer, if you can pull that Battle of Yorktown, American Revolution. Folks, this all has to do with staking, okay? All has to do with, are you still doing it? Are you still staking, or have we given up on it? So, well, we did that. Let's move on. Craig, I got all that stuff up there for you. Tell us what you did this weekend. And folks, why it is important. And by the way, that's what our next initiative that we're trying to raise some funds for is all about, this type of thing. I'm not going to go any farther than that. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, you know, sometimes the Lord ordains your steps and you don't even know what those steps are.
He always ordains them, and we usually don't know what they are. Steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, right?
Well, that's correct. That's very true, Coach. Sometimes I think we're going to see all the missed opportunities when we speak to Jesus, and he'll be like, man, I was there in the midst and you didn't recognize it. But anyways, so some friends of ours, dear friends of ours, were having their granddaughter's wedding on their, I would call it an estate. It's a very nice home. And so we went down to help them because we were going to serve the food and all that because they're having it on their property. And so it's in Fredericksburg, Virginia area, which actually they live in an area called King George. You mean, talk about No King's Day, right? Okay. So we did that Saturday, and, you know, it was late night. And I said, well, I'm going to go to church. And I said, can I borrow your car? Because we're down here in our camper. So I was just driving around, and I looked at this thing called Peace Lutheran Church, right? It's like the first church. I said, well, I'll just go there. They have Sunday school. I just kind of go in, talk to them, and I did.
Wasn't your church. You just saw the church and went into it. Boy, that's a unique idea, isn't it? Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like me walking into a firehouse. I can walk into a firehouse and speak with brothers and sisters who are in the fire department and have something in common with them, right? So now this is, you know, I,
I enjoyed it. You know, we talked. I got to talk a little bit about Refiner's Fire. I talked to Pastor Glenn. I said, "Hey, Pastor Glenn, I just want to let you know I'm going to pray this over your church. I want to make sure you know that." And I gave him the folder, and he got me into this one Sunday school. And he came back after he taught his Sunday school, and he said, "Craig, I really like that prayer." I said, "I'm going to have you read that at the very end of our service, if you don't mind." And I said, "Sure, I'd be glad to." So, anyways,
show up to this church, you go to Sunday school, and the pastor hears about the Refiner's Fire. He says, "Man, I'd like you to read that to our people." Is that right, Craig?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a Lutheran church, right? I mean, guess what? That's where Martin Luther, right? Didn't Martin Luther put the 95 theses on October 31st, right?
Yep.
So, anyways, I did that. And then I was like, well, I'm going to go over here to Fredericksburg, which I've been here before. This is the home of George Washington, by the way. I've been through George Washington's home. They were able to find it about 15, 20 years ago. They were going to build a Walmart. And they said, George Washington's home was here. And guess what? They found the foundation and they built a thing. And it's remodeled to what they think it would be. Anyways, so I was like, well, you know, George went to church here. So I'll go find his church and I'll pray Refiner's Fire over George's church, right? And so I find George's church, which is actually called St. George's Episcopal Church.
Hang on a minute. Freeze that a second, Craig. Hey, Spencer, put up on the sign Refiner's Fire. Put it up on the screen. Go ahead. Keep going, Craig.
So anyways, you know, there's this grand church here in Fredericksburg, okay, where George Washington grew up. I mean, he grew up on the Rappahannock River runs between Fredericksburg and where George's house was. Of course, there was a bridge, and, you know, they would come over and go to church there with his mom, Martha.
George Washington's actual church. Think about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, so I prayed over there, and of course, you know, it had the sign, you know, everybody's welcome, you know, XYZ, you know, all this stuff. But guess what? They were having this musician, and I started looking at his church. They have a Celtic service at 5:30. So you look up Celtic service and you realize that's probably not too good. But anyways, I got to go into church, just like when Steve Deck and John Loveland, like we went down before President Trump was inaugurated, and we did some praying over certain areas. We went to the National Cathedral, and it just happened to be open. And like Steve Deck and John, we all go in the building, right? So I was like, well, man, I don't have to just stay outside. I can go inside and pray. And so, you know, we left some markers on the land, let's just say, inside the church at the appropriate places. And, you know, they have this huge, it's just, anyways, I don't want to get, so anyways, I'm just praying, and I know the lay of the land there. And, you know, right next to George's church is the courthouse, right? And right next to the courthouse is Masonic Lodge number 4, where George Washington became of all places, right? I mean, you literally walk down this street, you know, from George's church. And then right next to the Masonic Lodge is City Hall. So, like, the Masonic Lodge is just wedged between the courthouse, City Hall, and the church, right? Which kind of, if you think about Fredericksburg, I mean, this is the birthplace of the United States, of the government, okay? And so anyways, there's three churches there, and so I ended up praying over those churches. And that one thing of the cross, the very last church I was at, actually sits catty corner, and they have this really, I don't want to call it a garden, but it's like a prayer area. It's gated, but you can open the gate, and it says, "Please no dogs." It's a nice grass area. You have benches. People come, they just pray and meditate. There's this cross there, okay? And I'm like, wow, this is a good place to kind of finish up, right? So I prayed Refiner's Fire over where that cross is. And I went to go take this picture, and there's this like a beam of light, right? Like I put my Bible and a Refiner's Fire there.
Yeah, on the screen. And it's on the screen right now. Yeah.
Right. I didn't do that. I mean, that wasn't like me doing it. It's just I took the picture, and it's like, well, Lord, I'm going to take that as a good sign. And that was where I kind of finished up the Refiner's Fire prayer. So what was interesting too, Coach, and I sent it in some other pictures, there's a museum here in Fredericksburg, right? I mean, you know, of course they want to, you know, they want some money to come in, you know, George's house, historic. And I'm walking through it, and it's about General Lafayette, which I didn't, you know, I remember hearing about him, but I didn't really know a lot about him. Well, I know a lot more about him. He was, George Washington's general. He was the French, right? The French helped us fight the British, okay? And so I'm going through this museum, and I take a picture because I'm almost godsmacked. It says on October 19th of 1781, it was the victory of Yorktown, which was the last major battle of the Revolutionary War. Okay. So I'm sitting in this building on October 19th, 2025, praying over these things. And I'm like,
you know, Lord, I don't think this is a coincidence. I'm
say,
just supposed
say
to be
that
here.
Again, Craig. Say that again. October 19th, which would have been yesterday, was what?
Was the end of the Battle of Yorktown, the last great battle
of the Revolutionary,
War. Okay, now the war continued up until 1783 on September 3rd, the Treaty of Paris. But that battle was like the last major battle against the British that was actually carried on.
October 19th, yesterday. What year, Craig?
Of 1781. See, the battle was 1776, right? It was an 8-year war, okay? And it ended on September 4th. But that was the determining factor. And, of course, General Lafayette, he was a Paris gentleman, okay? I mean, he was born in France. He ran with Napoleon. Okay, that's the kind of person, but he came over here to fight with George Washington against her. So I'm just saying, I'm in the birthplace of what this whole country is about.
I get it. Yeah.
And pray for refiners fire, right? You know, because God had plans for this country. They've got sidetracked, but you can still pray, right?
Amen. Amen. Okay, Craig, there's chaos everywhere in America, is there not? And the reason there's chaos. Reason there's chaos is because of some apple carts being upset, friends. Right? Apple cart. If there was ever a king in America, it certainly wasn't Donald Trump. Certainly wasn't that, right? And so they're not griping because there's a king. They're griping because they ain't the king anymore. that's what they're griping about, okay? So, Craig, I'm sorry, Craig, I didn't mean to walk on you there. But, Craig has an unbelievable prophetic unction. We all know that, right? And stuff that he knows. By the way, hey, Craig, what were you doing with your faith before Coach Dave Live came along?
Well, I'll tell you, I was walking it out, but I wasn't as bold and I didn't have clarity. Okay. And I've grown, right? And there have been people that are in the queue that, and yourself and others who have, I've gleaned things from a lot of different people. And I needed that information for God to make me into the man that he wanted me to be.
Amen. It's awesome, man. It's awesome. It's like, it just warms my heart from a coach's standpoint. Okay. From a coach's standpoint to see players play. It just, can you, I'm going to tell you something, folks. The Lord's giving you a thumbs up too. Nobody ever said it'd be easy. And we for the most part, American Christians, I hope you take this in the right way, have become trained SEALs. And what do? They basically repeat only what they've heard, maybe from the pulpit, maybe from a TV show, maybe from a favorite minister. We never step out on our own initiative. But we're just starting to, aren't we? And if I had time, I went down through the list of everybody that's in here today. All of you, most of you, could tell me a story of the opposition that you got from your own church or local pastor when you try to step out and do things on your own. Somebody give me an amen. Somebody give me an amen.
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 Amen. Because, see, the church system isn't designed that way. Whether we understand it or not, the church system has been infiltrated and designed to control you, to control the masses. It's really what's going on. And someday, some point here in America, we're going to find a revolution, a pushback, the manifestation of the sons of God leading a spiritual revival in America. And it ain't going to be the church, folks. It's happening outside the church. If you could pull up for me, Refiner's Fire. Spencer, I think I gave you that thing too. Folks, this is it, man. We have got to continue to do it. Got to continue to do it. Hey, Randy, are you out there? Randy's always out there. Are you out there, Randy? Let me see. Randy's always out there. He's probably off doing something. Anyway, folks, we need to continue to do this. This is not hard. And then all the stuff we get doing, I'm talking to myself now, all the other things I got going on, We need to continue to do it. Stake churches, stake government buildings, stake whatever, stake. Every place you put your foot, given unto you as an inheritance. Only be strong, very courageous, be not afraid. If you click on that right now, like Spencer, if you could click on Ohio, it's right there in the middle. Look at that, folks. Let's branch out here a little bit, okay? Let's branch out. These are the places that have been staked in. Like I said, I got about 60, and I haven't put them on the site yet. And now's not the time. Is it? Look at 129 churches. It's more than that. Come on now, you can do this. You don't need to approve of your pastor. You don't need none. I gotta get mine in and populate that thing. That would look good.
Hey, Coach, can I encourage you one
yes,
more?
Yes, I'm
thing
sorry.
Here?
Go ahead. So I'm rambling.
I'm done because you got the message. But when I do these things, oftentimes I'm just like, okay, well, Lord, I wasn't supposed to be here, but I am. I said, what do you want me to read over this building? So, yeah. I mean, I read certain things over the building, right? But this one is at the courthouse. Like, okay, so next to George Washington's church is the courthouse, right? And, of course, you know, what good is the country if you don't have just laws, right? I mean, that's what Randy did, 77, right? And I opened up and I just said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to read over this? I open up to Nehemiah chapter 1. So would you read Nehemiah chapter 1 and just see the profoundness? And this is what we're also doing about Refiner's Fire. It's not just the churches in your, it's your city. It's your city. Your walls have been broken down. You need to reestablish your walls in your city like Jeff's doing, right? At the square.
Right.
Okay, right. And others are doing it, like look, Jeffrey in Arizona, you know, all these guys that have been doing stuff.
And it may not, folks, it may not have immediate results, right? You're tearing down strongholds first, and then we have to rebuild and replant. It's a process. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Anybody know anybody named Hakaliah? Anybody in America named Hakaliah? Wonder. It came to pass in the month Sislu in the 20th year as I was in Shushan, the palace. See, these are real places, real times. It's amazing that we've cataloged this. That Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. That'd be you guys, certain men. Certain men, not everybody, certain men. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity. Concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity, there is the province are in great affliction and reproach. Folks, the remnant that are left. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Make an illustration in your head. We're talking about Christianity, okay? Christianity. The wall's down, broken down, gates are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech you, O God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Scroll down, Spencer. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We've dealt very corruptly against thee, not kept thy commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments. That'd be us, wouldn't it, folks? Huh? Haven't kept the commandments, nor statutes, nor the judgments, which you commanded thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and bring them unto the place that I've chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by the great power, by thy strong hand. Oh, I beseech thee, let not thine ear be attentive. Let now thy ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. The prayer of thy servants, desire to fear the name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. Huh? Lord, be attentive to the prayer of your servant. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Coach, I just randomly
open my Bible to that chapter to pray that over, you know, that's God's word over this courthouse and really over the city block too. Okay.
Yeah.
That's so appropriate, right? And we're talking about No King's Day on Saturday, and Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer.
Amen. Amen. Let me show you some of this, some things warm my. I'm going to open it up. You can. I'm kind of all over the place, but I try to. There may be another show like this. I don't know. I don't know many, where I try to show you. Number one, you're not alone. There's more going on than what we understand. And number two, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And if we, being God's chosen people, don't engage, who's going to? Who's going to do it? What do you do if your house is on fire and you call the fire department and they don't come? What happens then? What do you do if you get in an accident and you call the police and they don't show up? Call the emergency squad and they don't come? This is far more life and death for our children and our grandchildren than we even understand. And so I try to encourage all of us to get involved with it. Come on in, Jeff, real quickly. Go ahead.
Coach, got to share this. Have you heard about Pastor Bill's brother, Jim Dunphy?
No.
Well, for the last year or two, he's been battling cancer really bad. I mean, it boy looked horrible. Doctors tried. They tried. And I think they basically, in a nutshell, said, there ain't much we can do for you. He got sick of it and went to the natural healing stuff. We got a report. I think it was Friday morning. He went to the doctors for the follow-up. He is cancer-free.
Oh, wow.
And he's been in that Christian group singing with Janelle Branstone. Yep. And they said he's good to go. No cancer. Hallelujah.
Boy, folks. Hey, folks. I don't want to get into that. They've lied to us about what cancer is. You mean to tell me all the time and effort and energy and money we've spent, American Cancer Society, all those marches we used to make to raise funds, and we don't know what's causing cancer? Come on. Come on. We're smarter than that, right? Pull up number six for me, Paul Washer. Sometimes I like him, sometimes I don't. But this is the gospel. This is the gospel that we need to be sharing more and more. Go ahead and play it.
In the same way that God will never not be holy or never not be righteous, God will never diminish in those attributes, so God will never not be love. He is love. But here's the issue. He's also just. He's righteous. And that's why God hates evil. He hates it. He hates it with a hatred that you can't even begin to sound.
The son, he hates it so much.
He hates sin. And you say, oh, yes, yes. You know, God hates the sin and loves the sinner. Well, that makes for good songs, but very poor theology. Because you cannot separate the sin from the sinner. And God doesn't throw sin in hell. He throws sinners in hell. Just listen for a moment so that you not think me utterly wrong. Psalms 5, the boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. Does that describe anybody here in the audience tonight? You abhor all who do wrong. It doesn't say you abhor sin. It says you abhor those who commit sin. You abhor it. You hate sin and you hate them. Your wrath is manifest against them. And why? He is righteous. He is righteous. Now, you say, well, you know, I don't like that. Well, let me give you another text. Psalm 7. God is a righteous judge and a God who is angry every day. How, if I had a dime for every preacher on television that told the people, now the first thing I want to say is God's not angry. Well, the first thing I want to say is that actually he is extremely angry. But now here's the question that is very important, theological question. If you're sitting here going, you know, this is not making a lot of sense. Good, you're thinking. First of all, people will say to me, well, God is love, so how can God hate? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you love Jews? Do you love African Americans? Do you love babies? Do you? Okay. So what if you come to me and you say, Brother Paul, what do you think about Auschwitz? And I go, that doesn't really bother me. I don't care. I mean, it doesn't move me or anything. Well, Brother Paul, what do you think about slavery in the colonial period? Oh, you know, it helped the economy. I mean, Brother Paul, what do you think about 60 million babies being killed in abortion in the United States alone? Oh, you know, they're an inconvenience. What if I did not react to those horrific things? What would you think about me? You would think I was immoral, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Hopefully. You'd think I was a monster. How can you hear about Auschwitz and all the Jews being slaughtered and tortured and experimented on and not have a sense of justice? How can you think about colonial slavery and not just writhe with anger? I do because I'm righteous, they say. Oh, so you have the right to do that and God doesn't? So you have the right to be angry and declare war? You, who I just described in Romans 3, you have the right to stick out your chest and say, I will do justice. I hate everything that is evil. I love righteousness. But the moment I tell you that's exactly what God does, you go, no, I don't like a God like that. I was preaching on Noah one time. A lady said, that's not my God. And I said, no, ma'am, it is certainly not. In the same way.
Amen. Amen. So we would call this militant Christianity, right? Militant Christianity. And the average Christian has not been, they haven't even dipped their toe into militant Christianity. Real strong. God hates sin, and I support God. I hate sin too. No. Tolerance, diversity, love your neighbor, right? You're with me. You're with me. Oh man, so much. Pull up number 9. Watch this. Pull up number 9. Folks, this is what more of us need to do. This is courage. Go ahead. Wait a minute. Hey. Whole creation groaneth, waiting for men like this to show up. Go ahead.
Familiar with 1 Corinthians 6:9? That says the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that list that's in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6:9, right? The idolater, the fornicator, the adulterer, the homosexual, the reviler, the covetous, the drunkard will not inherit God's kingdom. And I'm looking around, I'm seeing all this LGBTQ stuff, and that has no place in God's kingdom. The Bible says, what fellowship does light have with darkness, right? The Bible says that a man should not laud another man as he does a woman. So, what, like...
Would you like to come with me?
No, I don't want to come with you. I'm saying you guys need to repent. You guys are sweet people. I thank you for the welcoming, but at the end of the day, God has called us to holiness and righteousness, right? To not stay in our sin. So can you appreciate that? That's real love. What time are you going to be done? Because we could talk. But I'm just saying, this needs to be publicly announced. You guys need to repent. You guys, I see a lot of old people in this church. You're going to meet Jesus really soon. And are you prepared to meet Jesus? The real Jesus, not the affirming Jesus, not the all-inclusive Jesus, but the real Jesus who's coming back to slay everybody still in their sin, right? As the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Bible says in Psalm 5 that he hates the workers of iniquity and those who speak falsehood. And you're leading all these people astray. So I brought my family here and I wanted them to see this because I want them to see that this is wrong. Sir, you don't have to put your hands on me. This is real Christianity right here. This is the Holy Spirit showed up to tell you guys you need to repent. No, this is the time. This is the perfect time because tomorrow is not promised. And Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Wow, did he say a mouthful? But everything he said.
Wow, huh? Oh my goodness, my goodness. Look, I've rattled on quite a bit. Open it up. Come on in there. I got some more, but I'd rather hear from you. Come on, who's in? Jeff, come on. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, that reminds me of when about five or six of us went in two of them gay churches on Sunday morning.
Yep.
Pastor Bill got up there and they handed him the microphone. And oh, buddy, he let him up. But you know, they were listening to him. And as like some of them people in there turning in their chairs and listening to that dude. When we left that one church in Granville, the two old guys were standing at the back door, old guys with white hair. I've been there 30 years. They've been taken over by the LGBTQ. They looked at us and shook our hands as we went out the door and a real quiet, thank you for coming. They loved it. And we walked out of there screaming, hallelujah. It's like, I'm like, oh my. And then you got in trouble for that. That was Coach Dave doing it.
It's okay. I survived it. Let me do this again, okay? Let me do it again. Bring back, where is Alan Jackson? Play that Alan Jackson a clip again. Where the heck is that? Where is that? Listen to this now. Listen to this. Hey, okay, folks, slippery slope. Slippery slope. How do we ever get to the point where this perversion would be accepted in Christianity? How'd that happen? Oh, I know. Love the sinner, hate the sin. Listen closely to what he says here, the slope. Go ahead.
We go from tolerance to acceptance to celebration to participation.
Really fast! We just want the right to dress up as the opposite sex in public. I went to Whittier High School. While I was there in 2009, there was like one transvestite. And remember the argument? We just want to feel like our authentic self, dress up in dresses if we're dudes, and that's it. Just tolerate it. Well, gotcha. Actually, we want the right to enter the bathroom of the opposite sex. Can you just accept us? Well, actually, we want the right to dress up sexually in front of your children and read books to them. And we also want the entire month of June set aside to glorify our delusions, and we want to pressure corporations into donating to our funds, and if that professional athlete refuses to celebrate us, we'll make him pay a steep price. So, just celebrate us. Well, actually, we want to mandate our gender theory curriculum in public schools without parental knowledge. We want to redefine children's rights to give schools the authority to disciple children into transgender delusion and hide it from the parents. We want to mandate that you use our pronouns or face legal action. We want to trans your children to get chemical and surgical intervention without parental knowledge. And if you disagree with us as a parent, we'll take your kid. Can you just participate?
Yeah, like Jack said, just say no. When is the church? The whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the Son of God. I hear you. Coaches say the same thing every day. When are you going to get it? When are we going to get it? Say the same thing over and over and over. I know. Got to keep after it. Somebody come on in. Ray. But they love you up there in Marshfield, don't they, Ray? I bet they love you.
Yeah, well, I'm moving on. I'm going to go to Green Bay November 2nd in Green Bay. They have another thing going on with the LGBTQ. I contacted churches again yesterday. One of the local ones there, they're just, oh, what a beautiful, beautiful service we had today. Oh, and you should have been to the potluck afterwards and the fellowship. And they said, hey, sounds like a great thing. How about some of you guys? I'm looking for a few volunteers from your church to join me out in Green Bay on November 2nd at 2:00 and kind of confront these people that are grooming our children. Do I have any volunteers? Or are you guys too busy playing church out there? So I'm getting kind of irate with the churches around here that are a bunch of do-nothings. And I don't know. Here's my rant. That's my rant for today.
Huh? I'm with you. Remember, Jesus said, don't bring me anything that didn't cost you something. And Ray, you're working on some crowns there, brother. Eileen, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, everyone. So this weekend, I went to a conference called Protect Our Children. First of all, it was such a blessing that a number of pastors were there speaking up about what we need to do, getting involved, taking action, taking our faith and the scripture to the streets. Number two, that it's all about trafficking and grooming the children. And they said the children are not being abducted physically. They're being abducted through AI, social media, and the schools. And number three, One pastor talked about the power and authority of parents, and that when he went to the school and started objecting to the curriculum, started getting involved, the teachers, it emboldened, it strengthened the teachers to stand up and protect the children as well, because, you know, they too are just like a bunch of robots. The money, the funding, we're going to lose our accreditation. And and I'm sure you heard what's going on in Michigan. That witch up there, she wants the Board of Education now to merge with the health department to bring radical sex education in K-12.
Well, you know, and Eileen, we know what that means by radical sex education, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Promotion of all things wicked. Bible says it'd be better for you, Christian, to put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the deepest part of the ocean than mislead one of these little ones that believe in me. Spencer, can you find that? Because people think I'm lying. They think I lied. It's John. I don't know where it is. Look up millstone. Look, better for you, commit suicide. Matthew 18:6. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones or teach one of these little ones lies, it would be better for him that a millstone hang around his neck and that he would drown in the depth of the sea. I hope he didn't mean it. I hope that was alliteration. Whatever. Hope he didn't mean it. Martin, come on in.
Thanks, Coach. I need all hands on deck. I'm still taking on Kings Island. I did some research, got some intel. They are definitely a left-leaning organization, Six Flags in New York. If we could have some of our brothers and sisters stake Kings Island Corporate, which is Six Flags, that would be awesome. I can't get there. I live in Ohio. And also, I posted in the chat, Coach, a sample email, so you don't have to think about what to say. I put it in the chat. Please copy and paste it. Put it in an email body. And I pasted all four of the email addresses that you need to contact of Kings Island. And if you would, CC it to me. And my email is in the chat as well. Thanks, Coach.
Who are Six Flags Corporate?
It's Six Flags. It's called Six Flags over America.
Where is that?
It's in New York.
All right. Well, let's
see. I don't know the address yet. So anybody New Yorkers? Thanks, you guys.
I thought there was more than one. Nope.
There's one corporate, and they're based in New York City, New York. Thanks, guys. Let's get them. Let's get them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's reclaim Kings Island and make it the King of Kings Island in Ohio.
Amen. I want to make you aware of this, because I have really this initiative is really on my heart as well. Point number 8. And I'm going to need some help with this. We got to get this organized as well. This is fascinating. This is where I live, folks. Megalithic portal. Spiritual war. Now, folks, look. They call them here in Newark, Ohio, the Indian Mounds. These aren't Indian Mounds. Now, if you look at the picture that's up on the screen, not the words, but the picture, that is this mound megalith that was erected here. Got all the geometric stuff, all that's in there as well. But this is what we're working. Now, look at this. You guys know this is right here? The Octagon Earthworks open house. They come and celebrate it. Impossible. I'm going to say this again. Impossible for a human being at that time to geometrically design this thing. These are the two mounds, octagon and circular enclosures near Newark. Go back up the top again, Spence, if you would. I don't want to get into all this. It lines up with the equinox, the solstice, the sun comes up right in the middle of all of it. It's spread out over 10 miles. I mean, it's unbelievable. And these are the forces, the dark forces that we are working against. And here in Ohio, we think the Indians built it right in front of us. The stuff that's going on. I just wanted to bring that up while I was thinking. I put that in the chat for those of you who might be interested in a little bit more. The Octagon enclosure, like all preserved portions of Newark site, is owned by the Ohio Historical Society. However, due to a lack of funding in the past, that's not true. This area was leased to the Mound Builders Country Club and is now a private golf. That's not true. They've given it over to some national organization. This is evidence of a pre-American civilization, probably of giants. Probably. Remember, he whoever controls the news controls the past, controls the narrative that we're dealing with. Cool. I just wanted to put that in the chat so all of you would have availability to it. Amen. Somebody, come on in.
Well, Coach, one of the things I was bringing up earlier when you were talking about momentum, yep, and having the momentum and losing the momentum and this stuff that happens in the game, because whatever, guys either do something or don't do, or people do something or don't do something. That's what either gets or causes the momentum to swing one way or the other.
Chad, do you watch football, Chad?
Yes.
Now, you understand how football's played, right? And the game is won by taking ground.
Well, the thing I was saying is that sometimes we kind of look at here when we get doing these projects and stuff, not just us, but I'm just saying people in general. And sometimes we stop a minute and we're proud of ourselves and we look back and we say we've done some of this and we kind of quit or we kind of lose the momentum, if you will. Yep, and sometimes that's right. We lose momentum because we look ahead too far and we're seeing so much more work that needs to be done.
Or
people fall off on this.
We don't feel qualified to do it, right? We don't feel qualified to do it. Remember this.
If we're operating in our flesh, we're not qualified for anything.
That's exactly right.
That's the thing. What's the purpose of this staking? What's the purpose of going out and doing it anyway? Is to be operating in spirit and furthering the Lord's kingdom, not our own, not our own agendas and things. We're looking at what the Lord is needing us to do. And through him, this is what gets us through the day, gets us doing these events and stuff quick.
So, Chad, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me as you were speaking to me. And the Holy Spirit said to me, have you ever staked Mound Builders? That'd be this. No. All these obelisks, all this stuff around here? No.
You know, the task at hand, it looks a bit overwhelming. But if we handle them one at a time, it's fine. How many of our numbers are there? How many is it? How many days in the week are there? And doing one little something at a time, I think we just chip away at it. We're growing with our obedience with the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Now's not the time to rest. One of the Allisons, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. So I seen something here a little while ago that was a great illustration. I don't follow much professional sports anymore, but I happened to catch a clip of the Toronto Blue Jays and Max Scherzer, who was a great pitcher. He used to be on Detroit, so I knew him back then. 41 years old, and the manager came in and was going to pull him out of the game. If you watch that clip, when the manager's watching the mounds, Matt Scherzer looked him in the eyes, and the manager says, I seen that look in Matt Scherzer's eyes. I thought he was going to kill me. And he basically told him in those certain uncertain ways, I ain't coming out of this game. Give me the ball. I'm pitching.
Amen.
When was the last time we had that tenacity when the devil came to us and said, well, I'm pulling you out of the game? And we said, you ain't taking me out of the game.
No.
That's Ray LeBlanc. He looked the devil in the eye. You ain't taking me out of the game.
Amen.
Coach, the more I stand up for God, the more the devil comes at me. He's trying to take me out of the game.
Yep.
But he's not getting me out of the game.
You would expect that though, wouldn't you, Dave? Huh? Wouldn't you expect that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's when you know you're over the target, is when the enemy really starts attacking you hard.
So in other words, then the devil's team, somebody's griping and moaning. The devil's griping and moaning. Won't somebody block that LeBlanc? Won't somebody block him? Huh? He's blitzing there. Who won't somebody pick up that safety blitz from Klein? Won't somebody block him? That Lunsford. Won't somebody let's double team him? Right, folks? This is the way it works, right? And so what do they want to do? They want to take Randy out of the game. They want to take Jeff and Allison. They want to take him out of the game. Ohio State, I don't know if you saw this. Doesn't matter whether he did or not. Ohio State went into, where'd they go this week and beat the crap out of somebody? Doesn't matter who it was. And the reason they beat the crap out of, it was Wisconsin. Sorry, Ray. The reason they beat the crap out of Wisconsin was on their fourth quarterback. Their fourth string quarterback. The other guys had been hurt. You're missing the illustration here. Huh? Enemies take us out your number one, your number two, and your number three. That's what he's trying to do. And here's what we got to realize, that it's next man up. It's next man up. And how are they going to take you out? Well, he's got a variety of ways to be able to take it out, right? Next man up. And I just want to encourage you that if you're looking around and ain't nobody doing something, well, do it. Got to start doing it. Amen. I see David Arthur still in here. Dave, what's going on, man? What's going on? Are you moving the ball, advancing the ball at all? No audio. He can't talk. All right. All right. Craig Mickle. Come on, Craig. Craig and Jeff.
Well, I just going back to you said, okay, the Holy Spirit said about, you know, the earthworks that are close to you. So, Coach, I owe this to Steve Deck, okay? When Steve Deck read over Gettysburg, the prayer over the land, okay? Mm-hmm. I never appreciate. This is where gleaning, like I said, like different people have gleaned and spoken, the Lord's spoken through them, right? So the Lord created the earth before man, right? So, yep. Coach, this kid comes to you. His dad's told him, you know what? You're never going to be anything. You're never going to. And you come over and you say, look, I see something in your son. It's going to work. I'm going to work with you. And you speak life over that kid. And he ends up moving forward, right? When you go to those places, like where you're going to go, someone has spoken over that land, Coach. You're praying and speaking over life over that land. Say, hey, I know the one that created you. And I'm speaking Christ over you. And Christ is going to come back. And, you know, this is his footstool. Okay. What I'm just trying to say is the illustration is it's not only the men groan. It's the earth groans. The earth is part of God's creation. So when we go to these places over where I went, you know, and you went, we are praying over this land. We're reclaiming it for Christ, right? We're his spokespeople, right? We're the boots on the ground. And that's so right. I put in the chat, when you guys went to the Serpent Mound on December 21st, 2020, before Derek Gilbert ever wrote his book, Saturn and Jupiter that very day, they were two stars, but they came together and they looked like one on that particular day, which is the winter solstice. And that's why when Michelle was reading Psalm 91 louder than those Indians, which you all made the newspaper in, okay, she was claiming that land, Psalm 91, in the spirit. And this is what we need to appreciate. Go over your city and reclaim your city for Christ.
It's simple, man. It's simple. It's simple. Amen. Come on in quickly, Jeff.
Coach, we've talked about this before. In the last couple of weeks, I've had two conversations. A couple of nights ago, one was with Dave Allison. And it started out, I called him about a dealer plate tag on that truck. Just something simple. We talked for 5-10 minutes. Then we both got into the attacks that are on us right now. And we shared with what's going on. I didn't know Dave was going through that. He didn't know I was going through that. And so ended up, I had prayer with Dave. And then he's like, let me pray for you too, Jeff. I did the same. It was a great conversation. And Dave said, you know what? This started out as something simple, but this is the reason why we are on the phone with each other right now. And I've done that with Clay Parker. You started in about stuff going on with him. I had prayer with him. He had prayer with me. But it was both great conversations and just lift each other up. But we got to do more of that.
Amen, man. It's a battle for sure, man. And we gotta support one another in it. Hey, real quickly, I'm putting in the chat right now. Hang on. Go to Coach Dave Live and help support our trip, a big staking trip we got ahead. That you don't know what it is, but I promise you, it's right up this alley what we're dealing with here this morning. Blessings to all of you out there. We're in a war. Let's act like we're in a war. Let's not blink at this time. Dale, you want to say something real quick? Go ahead.
Hallelujah, brother. It's deep into the fourth quarter, and you're down by 26 points, and the Broncos come back and beat the Giants. This is the church right now, the biggest comeback in all time, Coach. Amen. I got more to say after.
All right, buddy. God bless you, folks. See you tomorrow.